Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. From Alexander Hamilton's Church in the Hills to a new green space in Rapid City, Paul Higbee covers the territory for the May-June issue of South Dakota Magazine. Joining us now for more, columnist and contributing editor Paul Higbee. We're reaching him in Spearfish. Well, welcome to the program, Paul.
Thank you, Lori.
I'm ready for you to break into hip-hop lyrics immediately to kick off our first conversation. Are you ready to go?
I'm afraid I'm not. I actually tried to write that column in hip-hop rhythm and couldn't do it. So one thing I learned is I have no skill for hip-hop.
You learned that Lin-Manuel Miranda, the writer and creator of the hit musical Hamilton, has a skill that you and I don't have, alas.
That is for sure.
But we're not talking about Lin. We're talking about Alexander Hamilton himself. And who knew there was a Spearfish connection?
Yeah, Actually, I've known for a while. I wrote a book about Spearfish 20 years ago and looked into this. But it's funny, at that time, it was hard to even tell people who Alexander Hamilton was. You know, he wasn't a president. He was a founding father, but he wasn't a president. You know, he was a secretary of treasury. He did a lot to establish the monetary system that we have in the United States. And, of course, people know he was killed in a duel with Aaron Burr. But beyond that, it was hard to get people too excited about Mr. Hamilton. And then this musical came along a couple years ago, and boy, he is big-time celebrity in New York and elsewhere.
So the church is called Church of All Angels, is that correct?
Yes, it's an Episcopal church. It's almost 120 years old.
And tell me what the connection is, yeah.
It's back in 1889, the year that South Dakota achieved statehood, a woman who had organized Sunday school in South Dakota went to a conference in New York about the Episcopal Church and met three granddaughters of Alexander Hamilton. And there was not a church building for the Episcopal Church in Spearfish. Church members got together in members' homes, or sometimes they would borrow another church for their services. And Susanna Ware from Spearfish explained the situation to these granddaughters of Mr. Hamilton. And they said, well, we could maybe come up with the funds to build a church. It'd be a church primarily, but also a memorial to our grandfather, Alexander Hamilton. And Susanna Ware came back to South Dakota and didn't miss a beat. You know, got a committee formed to do the construction if the Hamilton granddaughters would supply the funds, which they did. And a lot of people know the church. It's one of the most beautiful structures in Spearfish, right downtown, corner of Michigan and Fifth Streets. And it's beautiful sandstone architecture. Looks very, very much as it did when it opened in 1898.
What's the condition of the church now? And is it still being used as a church?
It is being used as a church, and members have kept it in beautiful condition. I mentioned in my column, in fact, they refurbished the stained glass windows this winter and spring.
And so that's a nice story of people driving by and all of a sudden it's just plain glass. And but don't fear.
Because, I drove by one morning. I thought, wow, what happened to the windows of the church? And they'd been removed, and they were gone for a couple months as they were refurbished. But they're back now. And so used every week, used, you know, this time of year for weddings. It's just it's a big part of the Spearfish community.
That must be a labor of love in a time when Spearfish is growing, and I'm guessing things are torn down and, you know, the city changes. Is this the kind of structure that's going to remain because of not only its history, but because of the devotion of the people who are caring for it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's not another church built in that era, you know, pre-1900s, that looks like it did. A lot of them, of course, have been torn down, or they've been built onto so that they don't resemble the original structure. But this one looks just as it did in 1898. They needed a little more room, so they built a church hall behind the church that is a separate building. But the church itself just as it looked like in 1898.
Paul, I've always enjoyed and admired your column and sort of the style that you bring into it, which is something that not many people can pull off, where it's informative, well-written, and sort of there's a gentle humor to it, sometimes a self-depreciating humor, sometimes just a wry humor. How do you approach your role as a columnist and as a writer over the long term like you have?
Well, I get pretty desperate sometimes. I always have to do a full-length feature, and then the column I do after that. And I usually have about a day to do it. But I have a lot of contacts, and I just see a lot of humor in things. So if I can put humor in it, I will. It's not always appropriate, but you know, in this column, you know, talking about Alexander Hamilton
having
and Spearfish and hip hop, you know, it all kind of comes together. But it's bizarre when you first hear about it.
Please don't tell me you wrote that in a day. Writers across the state are going to gnash their teeth and bang their heads on their desks right now. Takes most people a little longer.
I put that one off to the very last moment. But as I said, I had investigated the history about 20 years ago, so came pretty fast. And my daughter loaned me a CD of music from the musical Hamilton, so I had that playing in the background.
Did you go through the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. It's a great musical.
Yeah, it is.
I'll see it sometime. Yeah.
All right. So that's professionalism at work. Let's talk about this longer feature and this park in Rapid City. I was there back when the park was an idea, and Charles Michael Ray took me and kind of showed me what was possible and helped me imagine what was going to come. First, tell me where this park is and sort of its origin.
It's right downtown Rapid City. It's across 5th Street, the area they call east of 5th, from what we think of like where Main Street Square is and most of downtown. And it's an interesting neighborhood. It's right across a street from the Pennington County Courthouse. A lot of things are developing down there right now. It's kind of a dynamic neighborhood. And, of course, it's where SDPB's new Rapid City studio is going to be,
right?
Just a block away.
But,
you know, you think of Rapid City Parks and you think of these vistas of the Black Hills, and a lot of them are along the creek. But this one is in a different kind of neighborhood. It's right next door to Hardee's. So you sit there and you smell burgers and fries instead of pine trees and vegetation along the creek. So it's a different kind of park, but it's just a beautiful little spot in a pretty busy part of Rapid City. And I first knew about it because of my friend Ken Steinken, who was a longtime English teacher at Rapid City Stevens High School. And he really kind of took the ball on that project and made it happen. And although he'll tell you, and rightfully so, he had a lot of good committee people, and the pastor there, Wilbur Holes, was very much behind it right off the bat. And so it is connected to Trinity Lutheran Church. It was their property. It's self-standing little park for everybody in the community to use now.
It takes a fair amount of commitment, I'm guessing, and devotion to create, to have property in downtown Rapid City and then use it as a green space, use it as a welcoming space. Could it have been something else? Could it have been a parking lot?
Yeah, there were other plans for it. There were people who wanted to buy it. The church had the property because they maybe thought that they were going to have to expand the church at some point. But in recent years, they decided that they weren't going to do that. And Ken is a member of the Trinity Lutheran Church, and he said, well, what a great place for a park, and put together a committee, and they got it done over a period of several years. Of course, what they really wanted to do, in addition to just having a green space, was demonstrate sustainability. So the plant life there is all very appropriate to our climate in the Black Hills. And I drive by there, you know, a couple times a week, and there are always people in there. It's just become, in a matter of 2 years, a big part of downtown Rapid City.
What are some of the challenges of sustainability in this context of an urban park? Obviously, the planting is different. What else?
Well, of course, we're, you know, it's a semi-arid region here in the Black Hills. So, Ken really investigated, and his team, ways of having water flow in instead of draining away. And all the plant life is what you would find growing in western South Dakota, which, is plant life that doesn't need as much water as you would need in some other parts of the country, the semi-arid condition here. And then they're doing things too with solar energy, and it's ecologically very, very, very appropriate for this part of the country.
And then let's talk about the church's mission too, just as welcoming, the community in and sort of dealing with, in any urban park, you've also got the issues of, the negative things that could happen there, whether it's drug traffic or any kind of crime. How's the church sort of approached the fact that they might have some, public use that's less than desirable?
Well, they, and there were people who were worried about that. Of course, downtown Rapid City has a transient population, and very much the attitude of church members was, we need to welcome these people, make them feel part of our community. That church, Trinity Lutheran Church, gives away thousands of meals to homeless people every year. And, they just, on faith, believe that, with the positive relationship they had with the transient population, that it would be, they would respect that space, and they certainly have. I mean, I think that's kind of the end story here is they believed that that population would respect the space, and they have. And they're very much, they use it, but they don't sleep there overnight. And it's a great story of something that really worked in downtown Rapid City.
What do you think that could mean for the future of not only the church itself and the people who use it, but the future of really the neighborhood around it as it develops and changes, to have that as sort of an anchor place?
Well, I, as I drive down St. Joseph Street, I see such a mix of people using the park. It's families having picnics, and, the church does some major events there every summer. And just, it's a healthy thing where you see all kinds of people coming together and getting along. And I guess that's the goal of every urban area. And Rapid City certainly is, on a small scale, an urban area with a great mix of populations. So I think there's a lot of lessons to learn.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment, South Dakota Public Broadcasting. My guest right now, Paul Higbee. He's a columnist and contributing editor at South Dakota Magazine. And we're talking about some of the features in the current South Dakota Magazine issue, which is on stands now, or if you're smart and lucky, in your mailbox already. Paul, let's talk a little, we just have a couple minutes left, but I'm hoping we could talk a little bit about spearfish, because it seems like every time I open up my email or talk to somebody, there's something new happening in spearfish, whether it's a new business or, tell me about that town and really how it's, having written the book on its history, what's its present like right now?
Well, it's continually growing. I said to somebody when, Alexander Hamilton's family decided they wanted to build a church here in memory of their grandfather, because they really thought the West was going to develop 120, 130 years ago. They picked the right place, because the town has developed, I think, really nicely. It's grown every decade of its history, but never runaway growth. It just seems to be a healthy growth. And it's just amazing the people that you meet also from other parts of the country who know spearfish. I mean, we think of ourselves as pretty tucked away, but a lot of people have spent time here, and obviously there are a lot of people who would like to move here. So I find it really a welcoming community. I think it's had steady growth, but never runaway growth. And you know, I think of Alexander Hamilton's granddaughters deciding they wanted to build this church as a memorial to Mr. Hamilton. They picked a great place, you know, because right. it worked the way they envisioned it would.
Have the folks in the church seen any impact from Ron Chernow's book or from the, you know, the popularity of the musical? Are they seeing tourists? Are they sort of capitalizing on that in any way?
No, they don't really advertise that it's Alexander Hamilton's church. You know, it's a church, and you know,
they've maintained the dignity.
Right.
Good.
And somebody asked me, do the people who do the musical Hamilton know that there's this great place in Spearfish? And I kind of joked in my column, well, if they did, they could write another whole scene about, you know, his legacy living on in Spearfish. But it's never really been something that's made a big deal out of that. Somebody told me they sent a copy of my column to New York to the producers of the play. Say, hey, nice. You know, look what we've got in Spearfish. You got the musical, we've got the church.
All right. They might come and, you know, worship there and sort of experience South Dakota. There are worse ways to spend your summer than a trip to Spearfish, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Yep. Yep.
Paul, I know you have a busy schedule. We can let you go. But before I do, just what are you working on next? What's occupying your writing life right now?
Well, July 10th, I have a new book being released by History Press about the life and times of South Dakota Governor Tom Barry, who they called the cowboy governor, and he was governor right through the worst of the Dust Bowl and Depression years in the 1930s. So that's going to occupy a lot of my time the rest of the summer, doing book signings and talks.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll spend one of those talks with us here on South Dakota Public Radio.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be good.
All right. Thanks so much for your time, Paul.
Thank you, Lori.
Paul Higbee is a columnist and contributing editor at South Dakota Magazine. You can see his latest work on Hamilton's Church in the Hills and Rapid City's Park of Peace in the May-June issue of South Dakota Magazine. It's on newsstands now.